The lesson we started last week with part two of this lesson. Let me remind you, part one of the lesson, the lesson is deemed with courage. And in part one of the lesson, we looked on Joshua, a case study of Joshua, and to see what could we learn from Joshua in terms of courage. And tonight we continue, but this time we are looking at ourselves as Christians, the courage that we are going to need to live this Christian life, the courage that we are going to need to spread the word to others. What is the context of this lesson? The world is really, Brother O'Neill, going through some kinds of changes, you know? And when you look at the world today, things that we would think that is reasonable, and things that we would say, you know, this is wrong. Even the person out in the world would recognize, church, that this is wrong, and this is right. We are now surprised to realize that, oh, they are not seeing it as wrong anymore, and they are not seeing certain things as right anymore. And therefore, when we leave the comforts of this building and we go out now into the world of work, the views that we hold, and when we go to the world of work, we're not going to get amens anymore, you know. You're not going to get amens again. But it's no surprise, because Christ told us to expect it. Let us look, turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. And I'll be reading from verse 18 to 19, and it says, if the world hates you, you will know that it hated me before it hated you. Am I correct? Verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And when I see this phrase, I remember Fabian's lesson, the call out. You have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hated you. So Christians, we have to expect that that is going to happen. When we leave the building here and we go to the world of work and we go to different places that we go to, people are not going to take kindly to some of the things that we teach. Not going to take kindly to it. And we are faced with both in the world, we are faced with what we call the church and the unchurched. So even for people from denominations, they're not going to take kindly to what we have to share with them. Am I correct? Yes? They're not going to take kindly to it at all. So, but Christ has warned us already that the world is going to hate us the way it hated him. So he has told us, church, to expect this. So when we go out there with courage, we already know that Christ has warned us to expect that the world is going to hate us. It's not what we are teaching is not going to be, what should I put it now, appetizing to the world. We are saying some things that are completely anti that. So they're not going to take kindly to what we have to tell them at all. Now, what we have to be careful of, yet it demands courage for us to go out and teach that there is one true church. It demands courage for us to say that baptism saves us now. Am I right, Brother Hussein? Yes. Demands those kinds of courage. It demands courage for us to say that homosexuality is wrong. It demands courage for us to stand up for decency and order. It might even reach a stage one day where it costs your job. So it requires Christian courage. Now, When you lack the courage, when you lack Christian courage, and we call this now cowardice, when you start to become a coward, you have to be careful of that in a church, because it can lead to you now being compliant with the world. Listen carefully. When you start now, when you lack the courage and you are now becoming like cowards, it means now you are going to comply more with what the world wants. You're going to comply with the world. And that is a big warning from Scripture that we are not to do that. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 4 for me. Read that, please. And I want you to, when you go home, please read not just that verse, but read the entire context of it. What does it say?
Ye adulterers.
Yes.
And adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Now listen very carefully now.
Do you think...
Stop right here. Now, adulterer and adulteress is usually used in a sort of sexual connotation, meaning that you are no longer faithful to your spouse, but you have now gone to form a relationship with someone else while you are with your spouse. So you are an adulterer. But James is using the passage here, the adulterer and the adulteress, in a more general way to say, oh, you have a relationship with Christ. Listen carefully. We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with Christ. Yet, at the same time, we want to have a relationship with who? The world. So that's why he used the term here, you adulterers and adulteresses. Then he says, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? It's against God. He says, whosoever, and the whosoever covers a lot, you know. So he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? Enemy of God. We have to be careful of that. Brother Percival this morning, he made a very important point when he says, we can't be neutral. Remember that point that he made? He didn't say in so many words, but it amounts to that. Neutrality. We can't be neutral. It's either for Christ or against Christ. We're either saved or we are unsaved. There's no neutral ground. And the same thing here. When you start to lack courage and you start to move towards the world, then now you become a friend of the world, and now you are in the danger of becoming an enemy of God. And that is what we have to be very, very careful about. So we need to have courage, because the opposite of courage is cowardice. And cowardice can lead us now to becoming a part of the world. So we have to be very, very careful of that. Now, we need to be able to stand up for truth, no matter the earthly cost. Stand up for truth. How are we going to achieve this? Now, I'm going to give you three parts of this lesson now, how we're going to achieve the courage as Christian. One, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be prepared. One. Two, we need to learn from the example of other Christians who have courage. That's two. And three, we need to remember the points from last week. I'm going to put all of that here, that we have a bigger mission, bigger than ourselves, to accomplish. So we need the courage. We need to remember the point from last week that we have the assurance of Christ that he is with us. We need to remember the point from last week that we need to stick with the Word of God. Because if we don't stick with the Word of God is what's going to transform our minds. Am I right with that, Fabian? Yes. So because the world is going to come to you with different messages, you know. This is right, this is wrong. So we have to stick with the Word of God. Let me repeat how the list is going to be organized. So second, we are going to see, to get the courage, we must be what? Prepared. We must be prepared. And second, we must learn from other Christians. And the next thing, we must remember the points from last week that we have a bigger mission, bigger than ourselves. We have the assurance of Christ, and we must stick with the Word of God. Let's talk now about the preparedness. A very good passage that we used to show preparedness is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Everybody turn to it for me. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to verse 20. But we're going to read specific verses. When you go home now, you're going to read the entire context of Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 right through to the end when you go home. But for this purpose and for time's sake, I want to emphasize certain verses. Look at verse 10. What does it say? Read for me, brothers.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
So we are encouraged to be strong. We are
in the Lord
and the power of his might. How are we going to accomplish that? Read verse 11.
Put on the old armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
So there is something that when you're preparing yourself, church, there is something that we have to put on. And what we have to put on, Rakai, is the whole armor of God. So we have to put, if you don't put that on, you're in trouble. And the chapter tells us the different things that we need to put on. So there are things for us to put on. Let us look at verse 14 now.
Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness.
So while you are, when you are preparing, you must be able to stand. And you're going to stand when you have truth with you. Because it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of what?
Righteousness.
That's what the world doesn't want. The world doesn't want the righteous saves, and that is why they hate us, and they don't want the truth. But you have to stand in it. Yeah. So you put on certain things, you stand in it. Look at verse 19 now. When you have all of this preparedness, how is it going to show itself? Let me hear verse 19.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth
shyly.
Boldly.
Shyly.
Boldly.
Boldly. Continue.
To make known the mystery of the gospel.
So you got to open your mouth. But you can't open your mouth to talk boldly, Fabian, until you prepare ourselves. Am I correct? Because what you're going to open your mouth to say, because you're going to lack confidence. So we have to put on. Am I right, Vivian? We have to put on. And that is when you're able now to open your mouth. I read this. I remember when Moses said, "You can't talk." Remember that one? We have to be able to open our mouth and speak boldly. And Vivian, this is going to take a lot of courage. Because at our workplaces, we might be the only Christian. We are the only one saying that there's one true church, you know. When they have, at some workplaces, they are going to have what they call prayer meeting. At some workplaces, they have it, you know, they say, prayer meeting at 12 o'clock, and this and that and that. Oh, come, you're a Christian, and you're not a part of this with us. Some of us keep our mouth zip up. No, you have to talk boldly. They must know what you stand for at the workplace. Am I correct? Yes. So you open your mouth boldly. to make known the mystery of the gospel. Read verse 12 now, 20 now. Verse 20.
For which I am an ambassador in bonds.
So they listen all by itself, the ambassador in bonds. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Speak boldly as you ought to speak. Amen. Christians, when we have the courage, we have to speak boldly as we ought to speak. But it cannot come without the preparation. That is why when you go home now, you're going to read the entire verse now, Brother Pierre, from verse 10 right down to verse 18 to get that context, to see the different armor, the different weapons that we're going to put on. And it's only when we put on those weapons now that we are able to stand. It's only when we put on those weapons now that we can speak boldly. You cannot speak boldly if you don't put on the armor. Can't. It's impossible. So that is one way in which we can get courage. And as a teacher, I see the same thing in the classroom, where the students who are not prepared, they lack confidence, and they go into the exam and they do very poorly. Am I correct? Yes. Because they didn't prepare themselves, so the examination to them is like a dread. So if we don't prepare ourselves and we have people to teach the gospel, we will not be able to do a good job. So we have to prepare ourselves with the different things that we need to put on. Please, when you go home, read them. We need to put on the old armor of God. We need to stand having our loins girt about with truth. We need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It will give us courage. There is a next thing that gives us courage too. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Read it for me, please.
And many of
in your church, waxed means growing. Because of what Paul was suffering, and they saw how he persevered, because he stood up. And that is why in the church, you know, you also have to be an example. There you go. So they saw Paul, they saw that he was in bonds, but they saw that he still persevered and he still preached the gospel despite the challenges he was having. And because of that, they became more and more confident, and they were able now to speak boldly. And the Bible said they speak boldly the word without fear. Without fear. We have so many examples from the scripture, and we even have examples of present-day Christians who we can say they speak boldly without fear. Our minister, Brother Carl Mitchell, he is fearless. You remember how he took on the people at Savannah Park? Those of you might not remember. But you have many preachers in the Church of Christ. They are fearless. They will still speak. We have people like Brother Buckland. He is fearless. He is going into Alpha Tree and is marching against certain things. He is fearless. So when we think of fellow Christians, we must, we can use their example of sin and become bolder. Read the passage again. Can everybody hear it? Philippians 1:14. Please write it down, everybody.
And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Do you see that? So learn, observe. As a Christian, as a young Christian, observe in the Lord's church those brothers and sisters who are bold. Even when they are facing challenges, they still speak out. And therefore, you can speak out too. We also have the heroes of faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for me and read from verse 32 to verse 38. We have the heroes of faith, church, that we can use as inspiration. Let's hear about the heroes of faith. And when you go home now, you can read the entire context. But for time's sake, we're going to read from verse 32 to verse 38.
And what shall I more say?
Yes.
For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of
Jephthah,
and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms.
Who through faith, what did they do? Listen what they accomplished, church. They subdued what? Kingdoms. Continue reading.
They wrought righteousness,
yes.
Obtained promises.
Continue.
Stop the mouth of lions.
Quench the violence of fire.
Escape the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong.
Read that one three times.
Out of the weakness were made strong.
Two more times. You're not following my instructions.
Out of the weakness were made strong. What out of the weakness were made strong.
God can use anybody. And out of weakness, and the world perceives the weakness, we can be made what?
Strong.
We have to believe these things because these were done before. Continue reading what the heroes of faith did. Continue.
Walks valiant in fight.
Yes.
Turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Yes.
Women receive their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured.
Stop. Some did not. You're going to still get some pain. Am I right? It's not going to be smooth sailing because others were what? Tortured, and they still stood up. We are living in good times, you know. Our government allows us to come and have a nice building like this, and we are. But there are times, there are some countries that if you worship God and they find out you can be tortured, would we still go come to worship? That's the question. Yeah. Were tortured, continue.
Not accepting deliverance.
They didn't accept deliverance, they didn't sell out, continue.
That they might obtain a better resurrection.
Continue.
And others as trial of cruel mocking and scourging.
Yes.
Yea, moreover of bonds and if imprisonment.
They have bonds and imprisonment. We are having nice and easy now, Fabian. Am I correct? We have it very nice and easy. We have it too easy. Because these people suffered for the faith that we have now. The faith that we have now. They fought for that faith for us, you know. Continue.
They were stoned.
They were stoned.
They were sown asunder.
They were sown asunder. Can you imagine somebody coming to saw you in half and you see for your faith and you still hold on to your faith? That's painful, you know?
Man.
That's painful. Continue.
We're tempted. We're slain with the sword.
We're slain with the sword. Somebody coming with the sword to chop off your head and you still hold on to your faith? Continue.
They wandered about in sheepskin and goat skin, being destitute, afflicted,
tormented. Continue.
Of whom the world was not worthy.
Oh, wow. The world was not worthy of them. We are living in power, in luxury. Continue. They wandered in deserts.
Yes. And in mountains. And in dens.
Oh, wow.
And in caves of the earth.
Wow. All I can say is, wow, Fabian. These people really fight for our faith, you know?
Man.
We are relaxing now, sitting down nice and easy. But these people, you know, Cheryl, they fought for our faith, you know. They fought for our faith. Wow. Look at verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report
through faith,
yes,
receive not the promise.
They still never get the promise, you know. They got it through us. Verse 40.
God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
We have the heroes of faith that stood up for faith. And we have that, Vivian. We have that. And we lack courage. We can't lack courage. And we have all of that But no gain, no pain, no gain, because they had pain. They had pain. And Christ tell us before the world is going to what? Love us? Did he say the world going to love us? The world going to hate you. So when you go with the t-shirt now, you say, whoa, you walk with your Bible in your hand, and you knock on the gate, and you're feeling happy, and they're running from the gate. You can't get discouraged. You move on to the next one. And you teach on it because somebody out there wants to know the truth. They want to know the truth. So you move on. People can run from the gate shamefully, you know.
Yeah.
Shamefully. See, I've gotten some of those already in the past. Shamefully running from them, you know, why hear nothing. Giving the choices, Jamaican language, you know, the Jamaican language, very colorful. A gentleman some years ago in Pembroke gave me a very color. I felt so bad. Give me a colorful language and run me from the gate, you know. A Rastafari gave me colorful language. We're going to face all of that. You still need to have courage. Look at the Great Commission now. I'm going to use the Great Commission now as an example from last week to show you that all the points that were made last week are present in the Great Commission. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Everybody turn your Bible to it for me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to about verse 20.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
mm-hmm.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Mm-hmm.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad they put you in the amen in there. Right. So they're ready for the amen. Now, last week we said this, that when you have courage, you have a clear mission. Remember that last week? Clear mission.
Amen.
And I even said to you last week that even evil people were able to succeed somewhat because they had courage in their mission. And I told about Hitler. Hitler did some terrible things, but he believed in his mission. He believed in his objectives. So look at Matthew 28 now. We're going to see the mission. The mission is this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Christ is saying to us that we have a mission to accomplish. Do you see that mission? But before he gave us a mission, he gave us the authority. He said that there, I now have this authority to send you out. So in verse 18, he says, Jesus came and speak unto them, saying, all what?
Power
is given unto me in heaven, where and in earth. I have all power. And that's why the therefore now, because I have all the power, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we have the mission that is bigger than ourselves. Are you seeing that person? Yeah, the mission is bigger than O'Shea. The mission is bigger than Selvin Gilbert. The mission is bigger than each of us. So we now have a mission. It's the same mission that God had called Moses to do certain work for him. He called Joshua to a mission. And he called the Christians now to a mission. And this mission should give us courage that God has chosen us. Am I right, Fabian? Link up with your, we are called out. God has chosen us to carry out this mission. So we have seen that there. Now, if this was where the Bible stood, I would ask you, where do you see the assurance? Because the assurance is here also, you know. Are you seeing it? Everybody see the assurance?
Yeah.
Where is the assurance? I don't care whether it's Sunday night or Wednesday night. Where is the assurance? Tell me which verse you see the assurance. Shout it out. Which verse are you seeing the assurance, Christians? He said, verse 19, where else you see it? Where are you seeing the assurance? Verse 20. Mm-hmm. It's clearer in verse 20. The assurance is clearer in verse 20. It is hinted at in 19 also, but it's clearer in verse 20 because he says here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and watch this now, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is the assurance that should give us the courage. So although Christ tells us, you know, that the world is going to hate us, on one hand, he told us on one side, he says the world is going to hate us. But he didn't leave us like that. He says, the world is going to hate you, yes, but I'm still sending you out on the mission, but I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Did he say that? So he gave us the assurance. So from Matthew 28, in verse 19, we see we have the mission that is bigger than ourselves. In verse 20, we see that we have the assurance. And if this was a Wednesday night Bible study class, so you get away from me, I would ask you now, the other part of the courage last week was telling us, we saw where we get the courage if we dwell in the word of God. Because the word of God is going to give us the materials to help us to fight the viewpoints of the world. Am I correct? Yes. So we're in the passage of Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. Which of the verse clearly shows that we have to have courage coming from the word of God? Anybody see the verses? Look at it now from verse 18, 19, and 20. Which of them more clearly show that we have the courage from the word? Verse 20, very good. Because verse 20 says, teaching them. What you can teach them the word of God, you know? Teaching them to what? Observe what? Some things? All things. Whatsoever what? I have commanded you. So that is so the courage coming from the word. Am I right, Vivian? It's coming from the word. Because to teach them, that's the only way we can conquer the world. That's the only way we can get the courage to conquer the world. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Do you see that? Yes. So this passage shows the courage that we're going to need to live the Christian life and to teach. And also, we saw last week where we're going to need courage when we exercise discipline too. Remember that? And that is found, I'm not going to make you read this passage though, but it's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20. Let me remind you what I said some years ago about this passage. But let me just hear verse 20 though, of Matthew 18, that is with us even in discipline. Let me hear verse 20 of Matthew chapter 18.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name,
yes,
there I am in the midst of them.
Yes. Now, read it one more time for me, Brother Usher.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
There was one Wednesday night Bible study, I don't know if you remember, some years ago, that I discussed this passage with you. But it can still be used. I said at that time that nothing is wrong, because the principle is there that if two or three are gathered, Christ is there in the midst. But the context of the passage was really talking about when the Christian decided to take some disciplinary action against another Christian. Christ is there with you in that action also. Because it is from verse 15, Vivian. When you go home, read it, Vivian. From Matthew chapter 18, from verse 15, I'm going to read fast. Verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto who? The church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, that's where he came in now, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then he said, no, for we are two or three. You see the context? So the context was, even in the area of taking a disciplinary action, Christ is saying he is with us, and it's going to require some courage to do that too. Follow me, everybody? So I'm not saying that it is wrong to use the verse 20 in a general way. It's not wrong, because the principle is still there. But it was tied, when the verse was used, it was tied to the context of disciplinary action. And he said, Christ is saying, I am with you there also when you are taking that action. So it was tied to the context. And we always say we must teach things in context. So let us review what we have learned. In part one of last week, we saw where God emphasized to Joshua about four times that he needs to have what? Courage. Be strong and be courageous. Remember? About three or four times God says it to him. Only be strong and of good courage. We saw last week where the courage that when God called Joshua, he called him to a mission. And that mission was bigger than Joshua. And it required courage. God called us in Matthew chapter 28 to a mission that is bigger than us, that is going to require courage. When God called Joshua in the lesson last week, he assured him that he was going to be with him all time, just like how he was with his servant Moses, I am going to be with you. And Christ assures us in Matthew 28 that he is going to be with us always, even to the end of the world. Amen. In Joshua, God told Joshua that he must meditate day and night. Remember that passage, verse 7 and verse 8 of Joshua? Meditate day and night upon the word of God that is going to give him the courage to deal with the troublesome children of Israel. They were quite troublesome. And the same way, God is telling us that we must teach the word and we must tell people to observe all things in the word, because that is what going to conquer the mindset of the world. We saw last week that Joshua had to take disciplinary action and it required courage. We also see that we in the church at times are going to exercise disciplinary action. But even then, Christ is saying, I am with you, or I am with you also. Where two or three are gathered together, for whatever the action is going to be, he is with us. We saw tonight, though, that we must be prepared in every way and put on the armor of faith. Be prepared. Put on. Stand firm. Speak boldly. Put on. Stand firm and speak boldly. And we saw that in Ephesians chapter 6, and especially verse 19 and 20, that we are going to speak boldly. We saw also that we can get the courage by observing other Christians among us who are fearless. And I pointed out people like Brother Mitchell, Brother Buckler, and there are so many other Christians in the body of Christ in Jamaica that we can learn examples from. And we also saw where this one really touched me, though, where the heroes of faith, the things that they passed through, Fabian. While I was reading it with you here, you know, it was really getting to me. The things that they really passed through, Oshane. The things that they passed through, and they never gave up.
And they still suffer pain, and they suffer pain in the worst way. So they never die nice and peaceful. You know? They were sawn asunder. They were cut by the sword. They never die peacefully. Never die peacefully. Yet they never gave up. That is the ultimate courage, Cyril. That is the ultimate courage. So as we are about to start our Wednesday night Bible session, when Brother Mitchell returns, he's going to start a series of workshops, a personal work. Let us get our minds ready for it now. Let's get our minds ready for it. And let us start to get more courageous. And come to the Wednesday night Bible study with Brother Mitchell and learn as much as you can so that we can go out there and so we can full up this place once more. Full up this place. And teach people and full up the congregation and get more people. They're out there, you know. They're out there. People want to still know truth. People still want to know. People hate us yet, but people still want to know truth, right? So we still have a lot of work to accomplish. Thank you very much, church.